to bring the best I can. How many want me to bring my best? All right, so if I'm going to bring my best, I mean from all the way over here by the Ironwood sign. Woo! Okay, good. I need people all the way over there, and I need this cool guy in the Star Wars shirt. Yeah, did you hear that? Yeah. Whoa. Sounded like a sick droid. Whoa. All right, so we're just going to start the whole thing over, and if you give me, I will give you. Okay?
Disaster. Here in the Watertown area, direct to you, internationally known across the net. He's here at Ironwood this week. Your friend and mine, Pastor Matt.
To Matthew chapter 7, and let me thank all of you for coming here. Amen. Because I know it has been a struggle for weeks. We didn't know whether we're going to have camp, whether we're not going to have camp, what in the world's going to go on, but you have braved it. You guys are here. You guys are ready to learn the Word of God, and I am ready to preach. If you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. And when you got it, say, got it. Matthew chapter number 7. Good. I felt like you guys were there. There's going to be some guy like 20 minutes from now. Got it. So don't be that guy. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 24. I'm honored to be here. This is my place. I grew up coming here when I was just a wee lad. We would come here and we would, as a family, we would visit Ironwood and swim in the lake and just participate in all the fun activities. I have many, many memories at this place, and I know you're going to make some great memories this week as well, and I'm so glad that you came. For those of you who don't know me, I am the executive pastor at Liberty Baptist Church in Las Vegas. Anybody from that church? And I've been the pastor there. I've been the executive pastor there for about 20 years. In fact, just had my 20th anniversary back 2 months ago. And we have four children, my wife and I, Brianna and I. We've been married for 18 years. Ashlyn is my oldest. Everyone say hi, Ashlyn. She's right back there. Wave, Ashlyn. Oh, Ashlyn, you didn't wave. Yeah, don't make me bring you up here. You know I will. Okay, amen. And then I have my second daughter, and her name is Bethany. Bethany, wave at everybody. And she's good to have Ashlyn and Bethany. Many of you know them already. If you don't, make sure you, if they're not nice to you, let me know. I'll make them buy you a Coke. Then we have Charlotte. She is 12. And then we have Luke. He is 6. We were supposed to do some different things with this week and next week, and so our schedule's just a little bit thrown off. So my wife and the younger two are not here, but I'm so glad I get the chance to be here with you. And those of you from my church, my home church, Liberty Baptist, I want you to know I love you. And I'm glad that you are part of this exciting teen week. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus gives an illustration that is going to set the table for our entire week. The table is this, that you're building your life upon a foundation. And what you do, what you say, what you see, how you observe things is all based upon the foundation in which you are viewing life. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, and I'm not going to ask you to get into a big debate, but have you noticed that in our society over the last 4 to 5 months, there are people that have many different ideas about many different things? Whether it's have school in the fall, don't have school in the fall. Whether it's wear a mask, don't wear a mask. a whole lot of different opinions, a whole lot of different ideas about a number of different topics. And the reason people have different views or different perspectives is always based upon their starting point, their foundation, what they have built upon. And Jesus illustrates that for us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24, where he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Somebody say rock.
Rock.
"And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Somebody say sand.
Sand.
"The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Jesus is illustrating for us a principle that you know, but he takes it to a higher level. He says, a wise man builds his house upon a rock. A foolish man builds his house upon a sand. How many of you learned that song when you were a kid in Sunday school? A wise man built his house upon a
rock.
A wise man built his house upon a
rock.
A wise man built his house upon a
rock.
And the rains came a-tumbling down. You know it. The rains came down and the floods rose up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. Okay, good. But what happened? That's right.
The foolish man built his house.
Keep going. What happened?
And the rains came tumbling
down. Oh, that's right.
Rains came down and the floods came up.
They sure did.
Rains came down and the floods came up.
Just like for the wise man.
Rains came down and the floods came up.
But what happened?
And the house on the sand went flat.
Wow. Give yourself a round of applause. You nailed that. That's exactly right. So the principle is this. Jesus says, wise people, when they're building their house, they build their house upon something that is firm. He uses the word a rock. Now, when he's saying a rock, he's not talking about a built good-looking Samoan movie star. He's talking about, somebody got that. You're like, that's that one guy. He's talking about the word of God. In fact, look what he says here. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, excuse me, verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Notice what the rock is in which Jesus is defining. Jesus says, my word is the rock. Jesus says, my word is the rock. And if you build your life upon my word, when the winds come, when the waves are rising up, you will be strong. He says there's another person that disregards the word of God. And when they see the word of God, when they hear the word of God, they look at the word of God and they say, I don't need it. I have another plan. And so, disregarding what God says, they adopt their own standards of right and wrong, and in adoption of those standards, they have made themselves God. God says, here in this passage, do what I say. I'm the God. If you do what I say, if you live by how I tell you to live, you will be strong, you will be firm, you will be able to withstand difficult times. But there is a tendency in man to dissolve what God says, and absolve themselves from what God says, and say, I want to build my life upon my own ideals. Now, you could call it a number of different things. I'm going to use the word human thinking or humanism. There is a belief that there is a God. We're going to call it theism or a belief in God. Or there is a belief called humanism, which means that man is the ultimate authority. Now, I'm going to talk to you tonight about several different times when those two theories have been fighting against each other, but I need an illustration. Where's my friend over here? Will you help me in the red shirt? Yeah, you got it. Tell me your first name again.
Eric.
What is it?
Eric.
Somebody give Eric a round of applause. Do you mind helping me? You're okay helping me?
Yeah.
You're a big dude.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to mess with you.
No.
We're friends, right?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. You see how confident he was with that? Always make friends with big people. Okay, this is good. This is Eric. And Eric, where are you from?
Washington.
He is from the great state of Washington. All right. Now, let me see. What do I got over here? Let me see. You. Yeah, you. No, not you. You friend right there. Yeah, you. What's your name?
Brent.
Brent? Will you help me out? You're like halfway up here, so I was guessing the answer would be yes. All right, come on up to Brent. All right, somebody welcome Brent to the table. All right, Brent, come on over here, Brent, where are you from?
Phelan.
Phelan?
Yes.
In what state is that?
California.
Phelan, California. Anybody know Brent? Are you here by yourself? Ladies, Brent is available. Nobody is here accompanying Brent this week. You're welcome, Brent. Okay, all right. Come on over here, Brent. Brent, what grade are you in?
Seventh.
You're in seventh grade. Is this your first time to teen camp?
Yeah.
Somebody welcome Brent. First time teen camp. High five. All right, good. We got Brent. We got Eric. Okay, good. So we got Brent. We got Eric. Eric, how old are you?
I'm
17. Wow. You shave, don't you? You don't. Don't worry, you'll get there. It's fine. It's all right. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a wrestling match. No. Okay, all right. What I do want to do is I want to illustrate for you a principle. How many of you ever played the game Jenga? Okay. These are Jenga blocks. These are Jenga blocks, but they're not the Jenga one. They're the generic version from Target. All right, so I'm going to give you about half of these, all right? I'm going to put them on the floor. Oh, you can hold them in your hand if you want. Okay, good. All right. I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
Anyways, it is, okay? All right. And then here you go, Brent. All right, good. So this is what they're going to do is they're going to do an exercise. You did that on purpose. I watched it. You did that on you. Yeah, it's my show, okay? Yeah. Okay, so this is what can you help me out with this, though? I want you to do your best. And I need somebody to help. Sophia, will you come on up here and help me? All right, let's see who else. Sophia, you're going to come over here and you're going to help Brent, okay? All right, and let's see. Russia. Yeah, Russia. Come on up here, Russia. What's your name again, Russia? Valerie? All right, somebody welcome Valerie up here. All right, good. All right, Valerie. Now, this is what we're going to do. I want you to do this, okay? You're a strong guy, right?
Sure.
Okay, good. So what I want you to do is I just want you to put your hand out like this. Not you, him, okay? All right, I want
you
to put...
You want stuff in it?
What's that?
You want these in it?
Just do what I say, step by step. All right, good. Just like perfect. Okay, good. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build a tower, 2x2, on his hand. Okay, you got it. I even gave you a head start there. All right, this is what I want you guys to do. Right here, on the stage. Okay, I want you to build a tower, 2x2. Okay, go ahead, Brent. Come on over here so you're not obstructing the view. Come right over there and do it. Good. All right. So now I want you to make sure you do not bend this elbow. Okay? You got that? You keep that strong. 2x2. Valerie, you're doing a good job. Keep it out strong. Okay? None of this thing, none of that. Just keep it out strong. You got this? All right. Now, in a wrestling match, in a fight, who's going to win between Brent and Eric?
Brent.
Hey, it's pretty unanimous there. But I want you to see something here because it validates a point that all of you must catch. The point is this, that they are building the same thing. And as they're building the same thing, the difference between the two is not the strength or might, is not the character or the height. What we have is a difference of foundations. Now, ladies, if you would please go back to your seats, I might use you again in just a second, okay? Now, I want you to stay there, Brent. Okay? You doing good, Brent? How you feeling?
Good.
Is your towel okay?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. How you doing over there?
It's rough.
It's rough. You okay?
Sure.
Now, what we have here is we have one person who's built a house on a foundation. The foundation is in himself. The other one has built the same house upon a foundation that's a little bit more firm. Now notice that. When there's trouble, when there's difficulty, COVID restrictions, okay? When there's a whole lot of issues, his is firm. Now notice, it still looks like it's okay. But there is a foundational difference. God illustrates. Are you okay? Because I'm going to preach for a second. Okay? Are you okay? Because I'm going to preach for a second. Listen to me. You can watch. If something falls, let's not embarrass the poor kid from Washington. All right? The Bible says this, that you have the option of building your life or building your existence upon the foundations of one or two principles. Either upon the foundation of what God says, that there is a God, that there is truth, that there is a reason for me to be alive, that there is a place I'm going to go when I die, because there is a creator who made me. That's all found in a theistic worldview, or a view that God is real. Or there is a worldview that says man is everything. Follow your heart, because you have the answers inside of you. The human spirit is able to rise up Superman who can conquer through the indomitable human spirit any challenge that faces us. It's not new. In fact, throughout the Bible and throughout history, we have seen the confrontation of these two worldviews. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, that first confrontation was between Adam and Eve and the serpent. Adam and Eve were given one command from God. Every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, for the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what?
Die.
Adam and Eve sinned. The serpent came to him and said, if you taste of the fruit, you will be like who?
God.
And there became a contest between God and man. Follow what God says. There is a God. He's the creator. He has a reason for you to be alive. And there is a place that you are going when you die. Or man is in charge of his destiny. What man says goes. Man is the prime. That contest continues throughout history. In the book of Exodus, a man by the name of Moses has a command from God to go into Egypt. And he says to Pharaoh, who professed himself to be God, said, let my people go. And there that contest continued to rage. The contest went between man and between God, between man and between God, between man and between God. And plague came, and pestilence rose, and the sun was darkened, and the firstborn son of Pharaoh died, and man lost, because man, every time he competes with God, will fail. The Bible continues, shows us illustration after illustration. Eric, are you okay over there? You're a little shaky? It's all right. In the book of Daniel, God highlights through prophecy different empires who would try to replace the place of God. Brent, are you okay? You're fine. Okay, good. Lil Wobby?
Yes.
If you're not careful, I'm going to put Sophia up here in place, okay? No, you're not wobbly. Look how firm. You're blowing the illustration. It's firm. It's good, right? Okay. Okay, good. You all right over there? No? Your elbow's starting to bend a little bit. It's heavy? If you need to let it go, you can let it go at any time. Give him a round of applause. Okay, go ahead. Have a seat. Go ahead, have a seat. Now, I want to tell you, Eric did a really good job there. In fact, he lasted for about 9.5 minutes holding that thing out there like that, which is pretty good. You're clapping, but he failed. Yeah. You stupid humans. Now catch this. Catch the illustration. Adam and Eve said, we want to be in the place of God, and it brought forth sin. Pharaoh said, I can fight God. I don't need to do what God says. It brings forth death. Alexander the Great put himself up as a great leader. His empire fell. The emperors, the Caesars of the great Roman empires, brought themselves up to a place that said, we are gods. Would say to the Christians, you must bow down to us, for we are gods. And the Roman Empire fell in the 1400s. A man by the name of Rousseau, trying to bring about the pursuance of the human spirit, said this, that man needs to be free from all absolutes. What was that? Now catch this. And I know I'm going into history, but I want you to understand, this is a common theme that you are dealing with now. That you do not need God. You are an authority unto yourself. Rousseau started enlightened thinking and brought on the Renaissance, saying we do not need the constraints of absolutes. A few hundred years later, a man by the name of Charles Darwin, a man who was studying to be a pastor, wrote a book called The Origin of a Species. And in that book, he postulated that man has origins not found in the foundations of God, but that man is a cosmic product of evolution. And that every single one of our days, in and out, is a struggle for the survival of the fittest. To take that theme further, people started to adopt his beliefs in the 1800s. There's a man by the name of Karl Marx who said that we do not need laws, we do not need rules, we do not need authority. He said, in essence, if man will just take care of man, we can live in a social order called socialism, where man just takes care of man. And man takes care of man. And there's no strengths, there's no weaknesses. We are all equal if we will just live by these certain qualities. Karl Marx said that society can adapt to any form if approached convincingly. Following the teaching of Karl Marx, whose same foundation goes into humanistic thinking, Karl Marx's followers were men like Joseph Stalin, who tried to bring a society into a one-size-fits-all. We will all live as a society communally. And communism ran across Russia. In Germany, the Nationalistic Socialist Party, or the Nazis, developed that same theory. That if we can put society in the right place, we can bring about an order, a cause, a utopia. We can get rid of people whose skin is not fair, whose hair is not the right color. We can, through eugenics and societal order, rid ourselves of the plague of the Jews. We can execute those who are less desirable because we are trying to find the human man. And adopting the socialistic tendencies of Marx that was founded in Darwinism, that goes all the way back to the struggle of Adam and Eve, man can be strong. We don't need God. In the last 6 weeks, you have heard this phrase, we need to reimagine what our country would look like. When we come out of this pandemic, you need to reimagine what school will be. You need to reimagine what life will be. It's time for us to reimagine. And people who are 50 and 60 years old have taken this phrase because it's part of their foundations. Their foundations that say, imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no hell. Because the great social revolutionist of their day, John Lennon, wrote a song that said, imagine all the people living here as one. Then the phrase goes on, you might say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Will you come and join us, and the world will live as one? And so on college campuses and in state capitals, people who are 50 and 60 and 65 years old who believed this philosophy that humans have the answer, we do not need the foundations of God, are asking us to reimagine. This is point number one. My foundations determine my perspective. My foundations influence my success. My foundations influence my success. Over and over again throughout history, throughout the Bible, you will see men who said, I don't need God. And we see failure because foundations influence success. I want you to see the second thing about foundations. Foundations influence perspective. Can I have my two ladies come back up here? Would you mind coming back up here for a second? I want you to stand over there by your foundation. And then I want you, ma'am, if you would please come on over here for a second. And I want you to face me. So stand behind your blocks and face me. Okay, good. Would you come on over here and face me again? All right, take a step back. Don't fall off, but take a step. Okay, good. And then face me. Okay? Okay, good. Feet towards me. Now, this is what I want, this very simple exercise. But I want you to understand how foundations will influence my perspective. In just a moment, I'm going to ask these two ladies the exact same question. Now, all throughout our world, you're going to deal with 17-year-olds, your peers who are 14 years old, and they're going to say things, and they will be asked the same questions that you are asked, and yet there's going to be completely different answers. Why? Why is it that you can go to a person who's 41 years old and say, where did we come from? How did we get here? And somebody will, with logic and with attempted reason, share with you that you were created through a Big Bang, that monkeys evolved and amoebas evolved, and over millions and billions of years, you got intellect and you got the loss of a tail, and you got reason, and you were able to build skyscrapers and cure medicine, and you were able to do all these things. And somebody else at the age of 41 will say, God spoke you into existence. Exact same, where did we come from? You evolved through a cosmic accident called Big Bang. God made you. Foundations not only influence success, but foundations provide perspective. Say your name again. Valerie and Sophia. Okay. Sophia, where are you?
Camp Ironwood, Newberry Springs.
Good job. She got it right. They weren't very impressed. Let's try to. She's at Camp Ironwood. All right. Valerie, where are you? Give her a round of applause. That's exactly right. Sophia, what is my name?
Like your full name or like what we're supposed to call?
You do you.
Okay, Matthew Tice.
Okay, I'll take that. Give her a round of applause. Valerie, what is my name? That's correct! Okay. Hey, Star Wars. You didn't clap that time. The Force was not with you. Okay, now catch this. We good? All right, good. Now, same people. Same questions. I want you to give me three words, okay? Three words. What do you see when you look left? Three words. Just three words.
People. Chair. Chairs. Window.
Okay. People, chairs, window. When Sophia looks left, people. Chairs. Windows, okay? All right. Valerie, same question to you. What do you see when you look left? Wait. Shh, shh, shh.
Wall, holes, blue line.
Okay, stop there for a second, okay? Valerie, what do you see when you look left? Walls, holes, and a blue line. By the way, that's really sad. I see people. I see chairs symbolizing rest. And I see windows, opportunities on the horizon. When I look left, I see a wall there. It's like a big hole. And a blue line. All right. Now, hold the thought for a second. Your foundation, what you're building upon, will determine how successful you are in life. God makes a dichotomy. You either built upon the foundation of His word, or you're following your heart, whatever humanly seems right. Foundations determine success. But foundations also determine perspective. Do you know that there are people right now, when we talk about God, they say, oh, yeah, it's wonderful, it's great, it's good. There's other people, when you talk about God, based upon their foundations, it's bleak, it's hopeless, and it's empty. All based upon your foundation. Two people being asked the exact same questions come up with diametrically opposed point of views because foundations determine perspective. Would you give my volunteers a round of applause? Thank you. Thank you, Valerie. Our foundations determine our success. Our foundations determine our perspective. Number three, you're responsible for your foundations. You are responsible for your foundations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in his body according as he hath done, whether it be good or bad." See what God shares with us here? Not only are my foundations important for my success or my failure, not only are my foundations going to skew my perspective of life, but number three, I'm responsible for my foundations. Every single person in this room will someday stand before God. It might be a week from now. It might be 70 years from now. Every single one of us will stand before God. And he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, when we stand before God, there's no blame game. There's no, it wasn't me. My parents made me do it. There's none of that. There's no, you don't understand, there is the coronavirus. When we stand before God, you will be responsible for your foundations. You will be responsible for your foundations. There's no blame games when you stand before God. Well, you don't understand, my parents, they went to church, but they kind of did. Doesn't matter. You're responsible for your foundations. Well, you don't understand, my parents, they got a divorce, and they did. Doesn't matter. You're responsible for your foundations. Yeah, but things didn't go as good. I didn't get to walk on my graduation. That was messed up. Sure was. But you're responsible for your foundations. And when you stand before God, and all of us will, no one will be able to point a finger and blame somebody else for the foundations in which they built their life, because every person is responsible for their foundations. You see, you are the one building the blocks. There's no excuses when you stand before God. I was tired. I didn't know. And what's interesting is that when I stand before God, there are no do-overs. There are no do-overs. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." There's no do-overs. You don't get a restart. You'll never live this day again. You'll never be 14 years old again. You'll never be a senior in high school or an eighth grader again. You are responsible for your choices. There are no excuses when you stand before God for your foundations. And there is nobody to blame for a faulty foundation. Our foundations are vital. You build your foundations. You build your foundations. And when you choose, Jesus makes a choice. A wise man builds his house upon a rock, and it stands. A foolish man builds his house upon a sand. He does whatever he wants. He thinks he can do. He tries really hard. He follows his heart. Other people aren't helping him. It's society's fault, but at the end of the day, you're responsible for your foundations, because your foundations determine success. Your foundations influence your perspective. And last but not least, you're building your foundation. Nobody else builds it for you, Sam. You. Well, my parents? You. Well, you understand what happened? Doesn't matter. You are responsible for your foundations. Father, thank you for your word, the time together tonight, where we get to take time to think about what we're building our lives upon. And pray that the illustration and the truths would be an encouragement and help to these, my friends. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, nobody's looking around.